listening to the Maplewood Happy Hour podcast. Mostly sports, always fun. Thanks for tuning in. Your happy hour starts now. What is up, everyone? Welcome back into another episode of Maplewood Happy Hour. We got the gang back together. We got Alex, Neil, Richard, and myself. How you doing tonight, fellas?
Just Jay chilling, brother.
It's been one of the busiest weeks of the year for me. I work in client support for trust accounting software. Words are hard. Tax season's brutal. Neil, you're an accountant. You can relate. So I've been pretty unattached. So you guys are running the show.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
Yeah.
Well, we'll find out. So let's roll.
So far, we're off to a hot start. That was a great introduction by you, obviously, but per usual. I'm not going to lie, dude. You were kind of talking about your job there and it sounded a little bit nerdy.
It is what it is.
Yeah, you nerd.
I mean, Neil, you're the nerd of the group, I would contest. Master's degree. Al, you have a master's degree, though, too.
I don't use it.
That's fair.
I don't use either of my degrees.
I kind of use mine.
I don't use mine either.
Not really.
I have a physical education degree.
College is the biggest scam in the world, dude.
Yeah.
I'm arguably the dumbest one here because I use one of the three degrees I have.
I use zero of the one I have.
I'll give it a solid 10% of the one I have. I use.
Yeah, maybe 1.5. I use about half of mine.
Like, if you guys could go back, would you change your degree that you went, or like not even gone and got a degree?
I probably wouldn't have gone. I'll be honest. My two degrees are pretty. I don't want to say they were easy. The programs were easy, and I can tell you right now. I mean, I'm not smart enough to like go to college and do like nursing or accounting. We all know I took one accounting class in college and I got a 14% on the first test. I mean, Neil and Richard were my tutors through that entire semester that got me through that class. I mean, I got to turn it around. I got to be in that class, but I don't know. I probably wouldn't have gone to college. I didn't want to go to college. My parents made me.
Same surprised here. You didn't take that opportunity to point out that you do mental math faster than I do.
Since we've graduated high school and Neil started his accounting program, I've corrected Neil on his math 3 times, and I do keep track.
Is that a lot?
What? Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, I'm not good at math at all, dude. Neil's supposed to be the math guy.
That's
one of the points of reference. Yeah, I was going to say, he's used to a computer now. He has no use for his brain for that.
No use. Everyone knows that.
I don't know that.
I mean, if I would have changed it, I want to say it would have been like something cool like architecture. But I wouldn't have passed that program either. And I know that.
On that topic, like, I always think, yeah, I agree. The sentiment that college is a scam or like it's overrated or whatever, I get it. But at the same time, I agree and I'm also thankful for the experiences because, yeah, I have a physical education degree. That degree allowed me to student teach in Germany, which would I have gone to Germany if I didn't go to college? No, probably not. Who knows where I'd be? I wouldn't know you guys. So it's hard to sit there and think, you know, like through college, I got debt, but I also got a ton of experiences and a ton of relationships I wouldn't have otherwise had. So I feel like in the context, like if everything was the same and I could just go back and like save myself $40,000, yeah, I'd do that. But if it was like, if I go back, save myself $40,000 and who knows what, like, do I ever make it out of Kendallville?
Yeah,
I lose the diversity.
You lose that diversity you get when you go to college, and that opens your eyes, kind of thing, to a new way of life. Like I would not trade that part of it, the personal experiences that I had in college, for anything. But the education part, like most of that, was a waste.
It's a little overrated. I agree with that. Like, it doesn't, in my degree at least, and again, I was a gym teacher. I literally got graded in a class for volleyball, tennis, and badminton. And it was a super fun class. And I'd never played tennis in my life before that. So, I mean, it was fun to learn that new skill, but none of it was really groundbreaking stuff. I wasn't learning anything like super revelational, I guess, or I don't know. But
would you change it though? Like, if you could go back, would you change it?
Change my major?
Because, I mean, you changed it like 7 other times anyway. So I feel like I've gone through them all.
My college experience, I started at the University of Findlay. I went there on a football, what was supposed to be a scholarship. I didn't really establish a major. I thought I wanted to be a physical therapist because of an internship I did in high school. I loved it. Then I got to college and realized that those classes are really hard, along with balancing football. So I was put on academic probation my first semester and had to go to mandatory study tables. I had like a 1.3 GPA.
I hated those things.
It was tough. But yeah, I never really clicked in a major at Findlay. I changed like every semester just because I didn't know what I wanted to do. And then when I went to Ball State, I tried like athletics or not athletics, exercise science again, athletic training, kind of that bachelor's degree to get into a physical therapy kind of master's program, occupational therapy. Still wasn't good at the science part. I took chemistry 3 times, guys. F, and then B plus. So third time's a charm.
Yeah, nice job. What changed the third time?
I mean, I think honestly I had a better professor here at Ball State. She was great. But the content was a little easier too, I could tell. And maybe the third time, maybe it's just like I'd heard it enough times already that I just kind of finally remembered. But I think ending up in physical education was more of a decision. Like, I just need to get a degree and graduate. And I wanted to do something that was going to be somewhat easy and fun. Not to downplay other physical education majors. Like, if that's your passion, it was hard. It was a lot of work, but I knew I could do it. And all the other majors I tried, I was just like throwing shit at the wall and hoping something stick. And PE, I was like, I can do that. And I can graduate with that. And I'll figure it out afterwards. If I could go back, like knowing what I know now, and now I'm in a technology job, I would go back for something like computer science because you can do a lot more with that. It's very applicable. Education, like, the only jobs I could get, it was teaching until I found this job. So something more general, more usable, more lucrative in terms of salary. So I mean, teaching doesn't pay shit. That's no secret, but yeah.
It'd been nice, like, when we were coming in as freshmen, if they would have explained more of, like, what the major you're applying yourself for is. Like, what is it really about? Because all you really had was, like, a list of majors, and you had no idea what any of them really were about. And you didn't learn anything until, like, your fourth year into college. You're like, oh, shit, this is what this is about? This is not what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, dude. And, like, you look at that list, and at most was, like, grad school, they had like a web page dedicated to like what it was about and everything you'd be doing. But like, I feel like when I was trying to pick my major for undergrad, it was like maybe a paragraph long.
How old are you guys when you went to college? I was 17. I was a year younger than most of the people I graduated high school with. And then that kind of went throughout college as well. I just feel like asking a 17-year-old kid that's like, in my case, I'd only been an athlete. Like, school came pretty easily to me in high school. I was just purely focused on sports. Asking a 17-year-old kid who's never given serious thought to his future to pick a major that they're going to do for the next 50 years of their life, like, terrifying. Terrifying.
Way too much.
And I just made dumb decisions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then people go for experience to, I don't know, USC or somewhere in Florida or something like that, and then get like a social work degree or a teaching degree and just ungodly buried in debt for an experience.
And then they work the next 30 years of their life to pay off the college debt they acquired when they were a teenager.
Yeah.
There's no clue what they wanted. Right?
There is definitely a pricing issue with college and secondary education or higher education, but also there's got to be like something to say about being smart with your choices. I feel like the cat's out of the bag on how much school costs and how ridiculous it is.
Yeah.
But, I mean, trying to tell an 18-year-old, like, no, you need to go here because it's more fiscally responsible is like talking to a brick wall.
Yeah.
That's but at like... this point, like, I feel like you're kind of – we're kind of losing a basis for an argument of, like, school is so expensive. It's like, well, you had plenty of other cheaper options.
Yeah.
No one really cares about where you went anymore. You don't really find too many places that hire, oh, this guy went to IU instead of Ball State or whatever.
I did my first 2 years at Ivy Tech, didn't take a loan out until I came to Ball State.
Smart, man. Smart.
Could have finished the last two at Ivy Tech, too.
Unfortunately, it's only an associate's kind of type place, but honestly, Ivy Tech sucked, too, so I was ready to dip out of that bad boy.
Well, the one place you went to school at was like an abandoned factory-looking thing.
Oh, yeah, on the south side?
Yeah.
South side?
I feel like going back to my experience as like a senior in high school, you couldn't have convinced me to go to a community college. You could have laid out every single argument in the book.
I applied to one school. It was Ball State. I didn't get in.
Yeah, I applied to like 20 and got accepted to most, but I was looking to play football. And I didn't know what I wanted to do, where I wanted to do it, what division I wanted to play in. I visited like two or three D1 schools, didn't really love it, visited five or six D2 schools and a couple D3 schools. And even the D3 schools, I was like, nah, like too small. And I'm a very introverted guy. So I was surprised that I had no interest in a D3 school. I think it was because they can't offer athletic money. Like there was no athletic scholarship on the table at those schools just because the NCAA rules don't allow. But yeah, like if anyone had been like, oh, you know, you can go to IPFW in Fort Wayne, I'd be like, no, that's crazy. Cause that's like 25, 30 minutes away from my parents' house. I was like, I wanted to get some independence. And with that independence, it means it's different for everyone. Like I'm not the kind of guy who could pack up and move like 8 hours away across the country for like an extended period of time. I wasn't that guy at that time. I did do some time abroad my senior year of college. And that, I think I was just more mature at that point, but I just knew I needed to be out on my own somewhere. And
yeah,
ended up picking one of the most expensive fucking schools in Ohio, University of Findlay, a little private school.
Classic.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah,
I feel like Indiana's big enough. Most states are big enough that you could still stay in state and still get a couple hours away from whoever you're trying to get away from.
Yeah, but, I was trying to get away. It's just I wanted to be far enough away where I had to figure things out on my own.
Yeah.
So I never had that. And to a degree, I still think I don't. Like, I'm very thankful for my parents, but they helped a lot growing up and it took away a lot of burdens that other people experienced from like the age of 16 that I didn't experience till like the age of 26 when I started to experience real life. And that was kind of a tough thing for me to sit back and be like, whoa, like people have been struggling with these kind of things for 10 years now. And I'm just a big old spoiled bitch. So yeah, it was a tough realization. But
we lived in college where it wasn't really the real world at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not gonna lie, even we were kind of pampered with where we lived in college. At least I know the three of us were for 4 or 5 years, and Zach was for one. I mean,
absolutely, dude. The cost that place, I mean, I had a job that you could only work 20 hours a week. I made $8.25. I only made $8.25 until the second, like half of how long I worked there. So, like, I worked there 3 years. I only made $8.25 for the last year and a half. All right. Before that, I made minimum wage. You can't live off of that at 20 hours. No way, dude.
Unless your best friend's dad owns the house that you live in.
Yeah. Exactly. At one point, I had $2.09 in my bank account. I went and gave Richard a check for my half of like the electricity bill. I said, hold on to that until I tell you can cash it.
Oh, man.
I remember that.
The college experience. And that sucks, dude, because that's our college experience. That's an extreme privilege because there are people that live like that day to day, and it's extremely sad. Like, that's us in one of the toughest points of our lives, getting an education that opened doors for us one way or another. Like, they're not the doors we thought were going to be open, but I wouldn't have the job I have now without my college education. Whether or not it's using my degree or not, that's a prerequisite that got me in the door. Some people struggle every single day and still have to say, hold on to that check, even though they're working 40 hours a week and have kids and stuff like that. So we're still lucky to be where we're at. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think it definitely gives you, like Richard was saying, just kind of some different exposure to life. And I mean, some people take it too far or whatever, but it definitely matures you, I think.
Yeah,
it teaches you how to think a little bit and how to learn.
Well,
it puts you, like, even with your classes, it'll put you in a situation that you're not always going to be comfortable with too. So you learn how to deal with a situation where you don't really want to be in that spot, but you have to do it just so you can get that grade, and it kind of carries over later in life too.
I mean, you get that I don't know, it develops you socially or whatever, but I don't know that, and it matures you, but like, I feel like right now, like at 27, 28, you know, I don't know that, like, I don't have life figured out. Yeah, I still feel like I could be like 21 years old, you know, I feel like I don't know shit.
Yeah,
dude, I still think I'm 21 years old, and then I'm like, oh no, I'm almost 28. Like, I'm closer to 30 than 25. You know, like
I talked to my dad, and he's like, yeah, you know, like, I graduated high school, and 2 months later, I bought my first rental house, and you know, and like, I just started then. Then I had two jobs on top of that, and it's like, goddamn, dude, like, I don't know. I didn't do that. You know, I went to college, but it's like, I just, compared to like where he was at 27, 28, you know, I don't feel like I'm there. The only thing we have in common at that age is kids. You know, he had two kids. I have three kids. That's basically the only thing we have in common.
I think that's the difference in like generational parenting.
Yeah.
I'm sure his dad made him work on all of his rentals, and so he had that base and that know-how.
Yeah, go ahead, Zach.
Oh, the generational thing is huge, man. Like, my parents had me when they were like 23 or 24. I'm 27. I'm just getting married. I don't even know if I want kids yet. Like, it's wild. It's wild. Me and Casey are both on the fence about that. Like, it's not my decision of whether or not we have kids. It's something we're both unsure of. And it's crazy because like, I'm almost 30. And like you were saying, I think it's one of the biggest lies. And when I was younger, I would look at people that were in high school and be like, wow, they got shit figured out. And when I was in high school, I'd look at people that were in college. I'm like, wow, they got shit figured out. When I was in college, I looked at people who were professionals, like young professionals. I was like, they got it figured out. And then as a young professional, I'm just like, do I even like what I'm doing? Do I want to do this for another year? Do I want to do it for another 5 years? I have no clue, no clue. It's kind of terrifying, and it makes me think that it's very impressive. All the people that I looked up to kind of as that mature figure, like, they were probably faking it too, and they did a hell of a job. So props to them.
Yeah, dude, I remember specifically my freshman year in high school, I was at a football game, and like I was standing down on the guy, and the guys were running off the field, and like, I was standing there, I was like, these guys are like fucking big, dude, like, these are dudes. And then I grad, like, my senior year of high school, and like, I'm about to graduate, and I was still like a little boy, dude. I didn't look at anything like them.
Yeah, 100%. Even as a freshman in high school, I would look up to some of the seniors. I'm like, wow, you guys have it figured out. Like, and some of them did, man. That was a crazy thing. Like, props to those guys. Like, I'm gonna go to school, I'm gonna go to this university, I'm gonna study this program, I'm gonna be this when I graduate. They knew it. And I left, and I, like, literally my dream, and a dream I was seriously pursuing, was being a kicker in the NFL. And I had the physical tools to do it. And then when I got to college, I realized, bro, I had 2 years eligibility, and there was a 31-year-old rookie in the NFL last year at the kicking position. So no doors are shut. But when I got to college and realized I didn't like kicking, I was like, what now? Like, that was the first time I had seriously considered, like, oh, I have to get an adult job now. And I was 19. So it is a tough time to have to sit there and realize that my dream, which I didn't get serious about kicking until like my junior year of high school. So it was only like a 3 or 4 year long dream where I was like, I'm going to do this and get paid tons of money and travel all over the country and make game winning kicks. Like, that was like stuff I daydreamed about all the time. And when I was 19, it all just fell apart, and I was like, shit, now what? Now I'm going to be a gym teacher. So
it's because you went to the wrong school.
You think that, you know, how we looked up as freshmen in high school to the seniors, that 3 year, 4 year age gap was the difference between like the internet and stuff like that coming in. That's why we feel more or less prepared in life than they did. They had to learn stuff a lot more than we did. Like, heck, right now, if I want to learn or know something, I'll just Google it, look it up, tell you the fact, and then forget it in 15 minutes.
I feel like that's an advantage we have, is like information's at our fingertips at all times. I think there's a point to be made about work ethic. I think,
yeah.
But I think that we all work hard and we've had the internet at our disposal most of our lives. So I don't think that like we have poor work ethic because it's been easier to find things, but I don't know. I don't know. Cause I'm still questioning whether or not they had shit figured out either, or if they were just kind of in the state we're talking about being in right now.
Well, one of the guys I looked up to when I was a freshman in high school was just getting married and having a kid this year. Finally, he'd be 32, 31.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. It's like, I don't know. You look at it, it's like, I know like people who are 30 years old and, you know, like I think they have their lives figured out and they know like everything there is to know about like insurance and like adult shit. And then you look at another 30-year-old and it's like, it's just shocking how little, you know, but I mean, I just don't feel like I do. I don't feel like I have it figured out. I don't feel like I know adult stuff, like all the adult stuff you're supposed to know. Especially like in the as a husband and a dad and somebody who owns a house and you know cars and has bills, and I was like, I don't know, dude.
Man, if you could go back, let's go around and answer this. If you go back and give your 15-year-old self one single piece of life advice, what would you tell yourself?
Wear a condom.
No way, dude. You would give up grace. Get out of here.
Oh, shit.
Probably pick a major that was a little bit more specific and actually tried harder in school, honestly. I don't know, but
what would I say to myself at 15? I don't know. Probably back with sports too, is when I was younger, I was so good at swimming. I was top of the list all the time. And then I got cocky. And then once I got cocky, that's when I kind of lost my edge and my work ethic a little bit. So I'd kind of say just like keep level headed and don't get full of yourself. I did that for a while and it really, really hurt me for a long time till I got to college and kind of when I got on the swim team, Ball State, and kind of learned how to step back and like help other people succeed. Is when I kind of saw like, hey, I should have done some stuff different back in the day.
Okay.
That's what I would say.
What about you, Neil?
I probably just do more. Tell myself to do more. Like hang out with your friends more, be more active around the house, help like my mom and dad out more, do more things in college. Like I swam and, you know, I wish could have been a better boyfriend at the time, could have been a better friend at the time, better teammate, better student. And there was time to do all that. It's just, I didn't feel like it, I just got lazy in certain areas. So I think do more because every time you do more, you feel better about it, especially when you do it with the people you love. So,
yeah, man.
That's all boy
was experiences. Like you were saying, like some of those experiences you missed out in college of that you're like, that's not cool enough to go do. And you're like, now you're looking back, like, I wish I would have went and did that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, I probably could have on a Tuesday night, like gone over and hung out with the swim guys or like gone to the library and studied or drove up to Fort Wayne to see Miranda. But like, I decided to stay home and, I don't know, watch TV or Netflix or something like
that. Sit on my couch.
Yeah,
cosmic exactly. Brownies and take a nap.
Yeah, exactly. too many sugar crash naps.
Some good shit.
What about you,
Zach? What about you?
Man, I would say when Bitcoin comes around.
Oh, geez. You're going financial right there.
I take a leap of faith and throw a few $100 at it. And then just from a philosophical perspective, I guess, I don't know, because I still struggle with the football thing because sometimes I sit back and contemplate, like, what if I would have stayed? What if I would have tried harder? What if I had gone to a different school? What if I would have had better support? I don't know, but then I think, like, would I trade any of that? Because if I stayed at Finley, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't know any of you guys. I wouldn't have met Casey. So I think a lot of good came from leaving too. But I don't know. I kind of like what y'all said. Sheesh. I went last so I could think, but now I don't know.
I don't think I would change my majors. Like, the path I took definitely paid off, and Brandon and I have some opportunities to do some cool things and save and get off on the right foot. And the only thing I would, like, if I were to ever go back, looking hindsight being 50-50, I would probably go to, like, chiropractic school.
But so we can learn to, like, crack your own back?
Yeah, you know. And
smart.
But then, yeah, I wouldn't have got, like, five awesome years with my best friends. So
yeah, dude, it's hard. Yeah.
Literally,
I would never give that up for anything.
Yeah, there's no salary that would have been worth all the years that we got to hang out.
Yeah, I guess advice wise, like, if I was going to say, you're going to end up right where you're at now, but advice I'd like to know when I was 15 would just be to prioritize having fun with, because I took everything so seriously athletically and I kind of missed out. I think I took it so seriously to the point where it felt like a job. And when I started to fail, it became instantly unfun. So I didn't deal with adversity well. And that's something that experience taught me. Football was the first thing in my life I'd ever quit. It was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. But I knew mentally it was the right thing. I had to do it. And I was miserable. But I think it's because I'd never dealt with adversity. So learning how to do that from an earlier age would have been ideal. I think it would help me now deal with harder things, like even professionally now, like tax season sucks ass and it's always hard. And it's always easy to sit there and just point out every little thing that's wrong. But there's always going to be something wrong. And you just have to choose to look at the bright side of things more often than not. And that's going to lead to more happiness. So still trying to figure that shit out.
Dude, that was spoken word right there, man.
Yeah. You know what actually I do?
Something I've been working on this year is someone
slam poetry.
Yeah, get your snaps. As someone said, complaining's the easiest form of conversation, and it's like, oh man, that is so true. And then when you get into it and you join in, you're like, you just feel so bad. So yeah. Or you get out of it and you go, man, wish I wouldn't have said that, or
like, wish I wouldn't have spent my entire night talking about the one thing that.
Yeah. Exactly. So,
which I'm very thankful in our friend group here is, like, we've always been able to have deep conversations. I'd call them, like, it's never just like filler talk. It's always been like deep conversations. I can remember being up till 2, 3, 4 in the morning. We weren't drinking anything, just sitting on the stairs at the house, just chit chat about the most random stuff.
Yeah.
Saying we're going to bed.
Yeah, we heard about 50 times. I gotta go to bed, man.
3 hours later.
The hook class.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that was some fun shit.
You're like, I'm not going to that class. Forget that.
Dude, on a more fun note, though. I mean, college was fun, dude, and living there was a blast on Maplewood. But, and you know, we talked about, like, maybe like what we would have done if you could go back and change it, dude. But I don't know, man. And I say, like, I might not have even gone to college, dude. But if I don't go to college, dude, like, I'll be, you know, still probably staying in Portland. You know, I don't have any of the experiences I have. I'm not where I am now. And I definitely, you know, I don't do the crazed and much needed breakfast menu breakdown.
Dude, this is highly
pro trans.
Yes, my investigative journalism. Right? I mean, so if you haven't seen it on the Twitter, so here's what I did. I'll explain it. I went to McDonald's, Taco Bell, Chick-fil-A, and Burger King, right? Those were the four places that I went. I got not like in one day or 4 days in a row. Like, this was spread over like 2 months, just whenever, because I was in grad school. So it was like whenever I just had a chance. And so I would get a breakfast menu item like a sandwich or something, but then at every place I'd get a breakfast burrito.
No, you don't say or something. This was meticulous. You had criteria that had to be checked. You're just like, oh, it was casual. No, you had to get a sandwich, a burrito.
I got a breakfast meal and then a burrito with that because, yes. I mean, so I'm a big breakfast burrito guy. All right, big breakfast burrito. And that was just one thing across the board that was consistent because, like, I mean, McDonald's has different stuff than Taco Bell, and Taco Bell has different stuff than Chick-fil-A. But the only thing that was consistent across the board was the breakfast burrito, right? And so I would get a menu item from each place and then a breakfast burrito. And so my rankings were justified off of service, quality, and the breakfast burrito. And so my order that I came up with was number 4, Burger King, because a breakfast burrito was trash. The breakfast honestly kind of stunk. And Burger King, like, I feel like every time I go to Burger King, it doesn't matter what Burger King you're in line at, it's you're in line for 15 minutes, 10 minutes.
At least.
Third place, Chick-fil-A. You can't dog on it, but it was their breakfast burrito is not the best. And you think that it would be for, like, the type of place that they are. It's like a chicken place. I don't know why that kind of goes hand in hand, but I would have thought they'd be pretty good. Number 2, Taco Bell. Taco Bell, if you haven't had Taco Bell breakfast, you got to try it. It's pretty good. And then number 1, obviously, McDonald's.
Classic, man.
Strictly on breakfast burritos?
Not breakfast burritos, okay. No. Overall. But like the,
overall,
okay. Yeah, overall experience.
Overall experience. You know, you got to do quality, breakfast burrito, service. Those were the 3 things I went on.
These are all in monthly, correct?
Yeah, and McDonald's, they get you through. The meal's good. The breakfast burrito's good. Taco Bell.
The food is always
the same. It's always consistent. Taco Bell, same thing, dude. They get you right through. It's good. The breakfast burrito's decent. It's pretty good. Chick-fil-A, they typically get you through. They do have a higher quality, but the burrito's not as good. Burger King, just trash.
Okay.
I'll never have Burger King breakfast again.
The Egg Normous burrito, if I wanted a good bowel movement, I'd just go get that thing from Burger King.
Dude, you could take that Taco Bell and shove it right up your ass, dude. They took half their menu away, and I hate that place now.
The breakfast? They took half the breakfast menu or the whole menu?
The whole menu. I hate it. They're dead to me.
I've never been a Taco Bell guy. They had the loaded grillers for $1.
That's all.
When I was at Kinley, it was walking distance from campus. So after a night of partying, I'd go out and grab some loaded grillers. Yeah, I get the loaded potato and then the buffalo chicken.
Yeah.
I get the buffalo chicken.
I think they're like $1.89 now or something.
They're gone. They're all gone.
Yeah, they're all gone.
No way.
Yeah, dude.
About a month ago, they got rid of everything.
They took all the potatoes away.
Last time I was there, it was probably about a month and a half ago.
Yeah, it's all gone.
Seasoned french fries.
It sucks. I hate that place.
It's going to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah, they can go live in the hole I piss in for all I care.
I don't know. I still have trouble. I still have trouble going to the one back home just from the war stories from when we were in high school. But, I mean, it seems to step it up a lot. It seems to be a pretty good spot now.
Once they got the KFC out of there, it really cleaned up.
Yeah. But every time I go through there, every time I'm still in line, though, like I always think about the Reno 911 skit with Terry at the taco stand. You guys know that one?
Someone's putting pubes in the tacos.
Yeah, dude, they walk up to him and they're like, hey, Terry. He goes, what's up? And he's skating around. He's kind of like, you working tonight, Terry? Of course. And he's like, I'm in my uniform. And he goes, all right, well, we got a call. You know, somebody's putting pubes in the tacos. And he goes, oh, my God, who's putting pubes in the tacos? That's disgusting. But, yeah, dude. That part cracks me up.
Yeah, the people that used to work at that place were like grosser than Terry was, though.
Yeah, dude.
But they still are.
Yeah.
But they are so much nicer in the Portland Taco Bell than the McDonald's in Portland. I will give them that.
That's fair.
Dude, I'm putting Chick-fil-A at the very top. I could eat that chicken breakfast burrito any day of the week. Every day. It's huge.
Let's hear your guys' 1, 2, 3, 4.
Does that have to be just burritos? Or
from those four places. John, Neil, just give me your overall of those four places.
Neil, finish up because you got started and I'm interested to hear the rest.
I will put Chick-fil-A at the very top because I like the hash brown circles. The chicken burrito has egg. It's got chicken. It's got hash browns in it. And you get that with some Chick-fil-A sauce. And I think it's a monster burrito. It's huge. And then half a point behind that, I'll put McDonald's. Oh, and Chick-fil-A has the chicken biscuit, which is clutch, and the chicken biscuit minis. So, like, dude,
those chicken biscuits are good.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, like, at Chick-fil-A, there's two to three items that, like, I don't know what I'm gonna get, and I battle over what I get every time. So it's got good quality, and it's got options that I want. And then half a point behind it's McDonald's because of bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddle, a hash brown, and a Dr. Pepper just hits the spot every time. But that's only thing I'm getting from there. Like I don't mess with the bagels or the McMuffins or whatever. And then I have to put Burger King in third. Never had their breakfast, but Taco Bell's dead to me, so they're fourth. A side note, for cheap, really good breakfast, if you're in the Muncie area, Max B's and G are like $1.80.
Dude, Max is delicious.
Are flame.
That's a place that'll make you take a shit, though.
Yeah. But their biscuits and gravy are cheap and really good.
And they got like 8 locations.
Yeah. They're worse than Pizza King.
Well, if I had to go number one out of that list, I'm going to have to go with the McDonald's.
Yeah,
sausage, egg, cheese, McMuffin. That's my go-to. Dr. Pepper, hash brown. Oh yeah, that's the way to go.
McDonald's Coke gets a good rap, but I feel like Dr. Pepper is from a McDonald's is severely underrated or not talked about enough.
As long as they don't screw it up and give you like root beer or something. I've had that happen a few times.
Yeah.
Maybe they could screw it up and give you the orange IC that is back.
Oh, that could be right
there.
Breaking news.
Wow.
Now, were you guys a high C fan back in the day?
No, I loved when they had blue Powerade.
Yeah, dude. One of my
Powerade greater than high C.
Yeah,
one of my fondest memories. Not at McDonald's, but it was at Burger King. Dude, I was helping my grandpa one summer, and we went to lunch one day, and we went to the Burger King, and he's like, "What do you want?" And I was like, "Oh, give me a cheeseburger and a high C." And he goes, "They got high C here?" I was like, "Yeah, they got high C." And he goes, "I think I'm going to get one." And so he orders like both of us a cheeseburger and a high C. He gets it. He takes a sip and he goes, "Oh, Jesus Christ, it's red high C." He goes, "Here, have two." Oh, cool.
Tastes good after a hot day of mowing yards.
Yeah, it does. Guess what? I got 3 more yards to mow.
Yeah, no, like 2 sugary drinks, top of some sweat and Burger King to cramp them bowels up.
I was going to say, I have a stomach ache the whole time you're pushing the yard.
Trying not to shit my pants.
Yeah.
All right, number two. I'd go Taco Bell to number 2. I'm going to put Chick-fil-A at 3 because I've never had it for their breakfast. But Burger King is definitely at the bottom. If I had to add another one in there for the number 1 overall, probably is Wendy's breakfast.
Okay.
I thought you were Arby's. Wendy's is
the breakfast.
No, Ashley.
Breakfast.
She likes it because they have biscuits and gravy.
Gotcha.
The breakfast baconator at Wendy's is to die for. And I'm not going to lie, the only reason I left Arby's off that list is because of price. And it's rather expensive, but if you are looking for a delicious breakfast burrito, it is a place to go. They have the best one.
I just don't think you've had Chick-fil-A's recently, but
Subway's wasn't bad. Their breakfast sandwiches either.
Ooh, Sunrise Milk.
That kind of freaks me out.
Yeah, they tasted good, but like you said, like having the egg pre-prepared right there, just in a cold little vat that they put in the microwave, a little weird.
Yeah, they can keep their food. It's just Jared. Whenever Jared, all that shit with Jared went down. I haven't been to Subway very many times since then.
Does he still own it?
No, it's just the fact that he was associated with it for so long, and you know,
I don't think Jared ever owned it.
Shit. No, he didn't own it. He was just the face of that. He was just the face of the brand. Not a fan of the guy.
I feel like I'm like child molestation or something like that.
Yeah, and he like lived in Zionsville. That's when he got arrested, in Zionsville, Indiana. It was crazy. So fuck that guy. I mean, no the shit Subway. To Subway. They were fine. I mean, Happy Gilmore is a redeeming spokesman for Subway, but he's a fictional character, so you can only go so far with that.
So that's the reason why you don't go to Subway is because of Jared.
I mean, I go to Subway sometimes, but not very often. Pita Pit greater than Subway. Jimmy John's greater than
Subway. You still get Papa John's?
Not very often anymore. He's a piece of shit, and then two, I think their pizza just got worse. So he's a piece of shit, but he knew how to make good pizza, and now it's worse, so there's no reason to go there.
I only bought from Peyton's side of Papa John's.
Yeah, Peyton Manning's side of Papa John's is a redeeming quality, because, like, fuck that dude for being a racist. That's not good at all, obviously. We'll talk about another racist here in a little bit, but we'll go to my rankings here. I'll get Taco Bell and Burger King out of the way. I'm going from the bottom up. Never had either of their breakfast. Interchangeable. Four and three. I'll go Burger King. I'll go Taco Bell to be in alliance with Neil, since they removed half their menu. Burger King at three then by default. And then I will go, man, this is tough because I haven't dabbled in a lot of Chick-fil-A's breakfast, but I appreciate service. And excuse me.
My pleasure.
The food. But I think the McGriddle is like the king of breakfast for me. So I'm going to go.
McGriddles are flame.
1A, 1B. And McDonald's 1A, Chick-fil-A 1B. Really all I've dabbled in Chick-fil-A is the chicken biscuits. That's basically lunch on a biscuit. There's not a lot special about that. I haven't had like the breakfast burritos or anything. They're amazing. But it's not like the only breakfast thing about it is they put their lunch on a biscuit. So still great. But I just need to dive into Chick-fil-A more, I guess. That's on me. But
the only thing I will say that Burger King does have that's better than everywhere else is their little hash brown bites that they have. I always thought those were so good.
That was the Crisp-O-Matic fry thing or whatever. Patented.
Back in the day, McDonald's had a chicken biscuit, and I would obviously haven't had one in a while because I don't think they have them up here anymore. But I thought it was better than Chick-fil-A's.
Dude, they got the chicken McGriddle now.
Yeah, but the McGriddle is kind of a delicious mystery. Yeah,
you're right. It is.
But like at home, I would make pancakes with syrup and eggs and bacon and have it all on the same plate and kind of have it all mushed together, but never would put cheese on it. But for some reason, the cheese plays so well into the McGriddle. It's it is not good without it.
The McGriddle is just a McMuffin with like a syrup flavor to it, right?
Syrup-infused muffin. It's the best. It's elite.
I actually got that for Ashley the other day, and she's like, this is really good.
It's elite.
Like,
do y'all like English muffins?
I like them with butter, jam, butter and some peach jam. I like that.
Dude, so is my
grandma. They're okay, but it ain't nothing right home about.
Yeah, yeah. I don't frequent. I'm not really a big breakfast guy, to be honest.
Me either.
I usually drink like some sort of protein shake, or we'll just eat Pop-Tarts, one or the other.
So I usually just go, I'm hungry, and then I just carry on with my life.
Yeah, well, someplace in the morning for work, and he's like, I'm like, hey, you want to stop at McDonald's? Like, hell yes, let's stop at McDonald's.
I was like, hey, can you stop at the gas station? Should I get a drink? And he goes, oh, I thought we'd hit McDonald's. Absolutely, let's do it. Dude, speaking of a racist, though, Zach, you might as well start talking about it.
Dude, I don't know much about this motherfucker, so you have to fill me in. Morgan Wallen, I'm not a big country music guy. Especially when you find out he's a racist piece of shit, it doesn't really inspire me to go listen to his music to figure out who he is. He's basically been canceled by not like his record label. Most radio stations have dropped his music. A lot of people have rushed to his defense. And I mean, given the events of the past year, 2 years, we're going to dabble in politics, but I feel like this is dabbling in just humanity. I don't think there's there's not a lot here that needs to be politicized. I think it's politicized because it's to the benefit of politicians to politicize it. But to me, this is just like humanity. So racism is an issue of humanity. And as for privileged white people, we don't understand the struggles that come along with racism. We're not in any way oppressed by any systems that we've really benefited from for our whole lives. And that's something I think we all need to acknowledge. And I think us four do. I know a lot of other people do as well, but there's still a lot of people out there that don't. So I don't know too much about the story. Obviously he goes caught on video referring to one of his friends using the N-word. And then chaos ensued for his wife. So I don't know. You guys want to fill me and everyone else in on who Morgan Wallen is in case anyone else is living under a rock?
Is there more to it than?
Yeah, he put out a really good Instagram video today, basically apologizing and explaining that he was on hour 72 of a 72-hour bender. When that video was taken, it was like at 12 a.m. and it was like his neighbor's Ring doorbell that captured it.
No, they set up a camera to record him at all times.
They did.
Like they had hours and hours of footage trying to record this guy doing something to mess up.
And they don't have to look very far for him to do that. He's been kind of messing up. But basically, yeah, he yelled at one of his friends who I don't believe is African-American or a person of color or anything like that. Not saying that his use of that word is right or anything like that. But I feel like in that video, he said he had been reached out to by several black organizations, like educational organizations, and he accepted their invitations to learn more about like the culture and their history and the struggles. And basically, he said, I understand that like what I'm going through now is nothing compared to what people of color have gone through, and that's really opened his eyes, and that booze is a big problem in his life, and who he is sober is not who he is drunk, and who he is drunk is basically louder than who he is sober. So he's working on like that side of thing, and basically said like, hey, do me a favor and don't come to my defense, because I have earned everything that I'm taking.
So yeah, I appreciate the responsibility, and I watched the video, and the thing that stuck out to me the most about the video is just like the carefree nature in which it just rolled off the tongue. Like you could tell that wasn't the first time he had used that out loud. You know, he said it multiple times, and you said that apparently in the video, I'm allegedly referencing the video, he said who I am sober is just quieter than who I am drunk. That doesn't exactly make me feel warm and fuzzy, because even if you're a quiet racist, you're still a racist. And like,
yeah. But is it because he said it one time, do you think he's a racist?
No, because I don't think he said it one time. I think because you heard him say it
one time, do you think he's a racist?
I think in the context that he said it, he felt very comfortable using a word that's associated with years and years and years of slavery and racism. So I appreciate his willingness to pursue education. I don't think like I'm all for second chances as well. Like I don't love that his whole life is torn apart and canceled, but if you're going to excuse this and make any wiggle room, give an inch, take a mile. So at what point is like, oh, it's okay to use the N-word in this context? No, it's never okay. And he used it in a context in which it's never okay to use it. So we can't just give him a pass because he made a mistake. He has to own the mistake, which it looks like he's doing. Like it's just like drunk driving. It's like, oh, my bad, I won't do it again. Well, you still killed somebody potentially, or you still wrecked your car, or you still hit someone's house. Like you can't just be like, my bad, I won't do it again. You have to go through an extensive process to make things right. And with racism, it's like the First Amendment protects people's right to say whatever the hell they want. But there's consequences with saying things like this that are aligned so obviously with hate in a country that's supposed to be like united and diverse. And like, I don't know. I think it, it just bothered me how easy it was for him to say, knowing a guy of his status, like, I'm sure he wasn't oblivious to the fact that there are people waiting for him to mess up, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not fair that people have to live like that under constant fear of like, oh, what's going to happen if I mess up a single time? But that's the spotlight he stepped into. That's why he's famous. He's famous because of that spotlight. He has to be aware of that at all times. It's like when NFL players fuck up. It's like, you know better, dude. Like, you absolutely know better. Kareem Hunt, his actions were
at all times.
Yeah. Kareem Hunt's actions were inexcusable. And like, we can sympathize or empathize with him. Like, yeah, some girl was calling him the N-word and that probably infuriated him, but that doesn't excuse what he did. So just in this same way, like, yeah, Morgan Wallen, oh, I was drunk, my bad. Drunk words or sober thoughts. And that doesn't excuse what he said. So,
like, I've never thought once when I was drunk to ever use that word. Like, it never has once crossed my mind being hammered.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'll be interested. Like, maybe I'll start paying attention to this dude more to see what his next steps are. I just don't care for his music. I'm not a country music guy, which is why I don't know who he is. But it doesn't.
I was going to say, I like him a lot in the country music world. Me and Neil have both seen him live a few times. And his music is phenomenal. Top of the charts right now in the country music genre.
It's just like the second time he's messed up. I mean, so he royally messed up with the N-word, but like, this is the second time booze has got him in trouble. And it's like, dude, like, if you're going to be an alcoholic, like, I don't know that I can just like keep openly knowing. I mean, I'm sure I support artists who are alcoholics and detriments to society and themselves, but I just don't know it. But like, it definitely makes it harder to support that when A, you're an alcoholic, and B, yeah, you're throwing around an N-word, which, like Zach said, sober drunk words, sober thoughts. It's like, come on, man! Like, let's grow up. I think when you listen to his lyrics, he's really in it just to be able to play music and party. He's like trying to live that rock star life, but he's not handling it well by any means. Which is unfortunate because he does put on a great concert.
Yeah.
Or has in the past.
I hope he can get his shit together. I mean, he's a young guy. You hate to see someone's life derailed like this, but like, when it's at their own doing, like, nothing we did or anything put him in the position to use that word. Nothing anyone did. He just used it.
Like, I think he's definitely taking the right steps right now of how he should approach this on how to, I don't know if correct the situation is the right word for it, but to kind of make amends for what his actions were.
This like, is it reminds me a little bit of the Drew Brees backlash over the summer.
Yeah.
When he basically outright said, like, I won't respect anyone who kneels for the flag. And at this point, 4 years removed from the original anthem protest, we all know it wasn't about the flag in the first place. And when 4 years later you hear the same rhetoric, it's like, okay, he's just extremely stuck in his ways. But Drew Brees was very receptive. Like, he initially, he got smacked with backlash from his own teammates. Malcolm Jenkins literally told him, shut the fuck up, like, on video. And then they went out and played on the same team. So there was some reconciliation that was done. And I'm not saying that this is something Morgan Wallen can't come back from, but he's got a lot of work to do. And he's got to be very intentional about doing that work out of a place of, this is the right thing to do, not this is what's going to get me back to the spotlight. I think that's the motivation of what his next steps are going to be really important for him and his fans and his future.
Yeah, that's definitely an uphill battle because motivation can be pretty subject to interpretation. So
you know,
it could always just seem, you could easily always spin it that he's just trying to get back to the spotlight. Mm-hmm. But I think I saw a headline where it was like the NAACP had reached out to him about like going to like an educational seminar or coming into one of their locations. Yep. And I would be interested to know, he said he'd been to several or attended several of those educational meetings. So I'd be curious. I'm curious to know who led those programs for him.
Yeah, man.
Who would have thought some white kid from small town Tennessee would be caught on camera saying the N-word?
Couldn't
be us.
It doesn't seem like a likely to happen to me.
Now, is it wrong of his neighbors to be they were recording him almost constantly to try to catch him fuck up so that they could turn it into TMZ or something like that to make money off of it. Do you think that aspect, take out what he said, is completely wrong?
It's kind of like an invasion of privacy almost.
I would think so too. That's his, he's on his own property at his house and somebody's recording him. That part of it, I think, is kind of disturbing of what his neighbors were doing. I mean, he's still wrong for saying that word 100%, but just to record a guy and just wait for him to mess up is messed up.
It's petty. Yeah. I mean, illegal. Was he in his house or on the street? I feel like the video I saw, it was like
driveway.
Yeah. So he's like out front. I don't know. Like, yeah, I think that the neighbors just waiting for a guy to fall into something is terrible, especially when it's a guy, you know, is vulnerable to fucking up. You know, it's not his first offense. But that being said, Morgan Wallen knows it's not his first offense. And yeah. I think in a way it's not right. I'm not saying it's right, but in a way, once you achieve celebrity status, you almost forfeit a sense of privacy. Like everyone knows everything about you. I mean, where were we at? Me and Nate tonight, we're at Payless getting ice cream. And like, I learned that John Travolta is leaving Scientology. Like, it's just the tabloids are everywhere. There's people always wanting a story, always wanting some sort of clicks. And as a guy with a chart topping record in country music, which is like the backbone of America, he's got to be more aware. Like, it's not right, but it's his reality. And he knows that better than anyone. He knows that better than us. I wouldn't love anyone walking around filming me either. But if I knew there was a camera on me, I wouldn't dare fuck up. Yeah. Wouldn't dare.
Yeah, it's kind of like this happens so often. I can't believe that it keeps happening. I'm glad it does because like it just like all that needs to be erased from life and from society. But if you're going to say something or do something stupid, like just do it in your house where no one's watching and no one will find out. And then you just won't have this head. Well, A, don't do it. But if you're going to be dumb, racist or whatever, do it where no one can see you. And yeah, you don't have to deal with this. But first of all, don't do it at all.
Yeah. And I think the last 5 years we've seen kind of an emergence of racist ideology and philosophy, like kind of hit the streets, for lack of a better term, like because they're literally just crawling out of their holes, emboldened in some ways because of rhetoric they've seen and heard on TV. Like it blows my mind that in like the years between 2016 and 2021, we still see like Nazi flags, Confederate flags, like things that are very, very like they are literally synonymous with genocide and racism. We just see those. Like I see Confederate flags around Muncie, Indiana all the time. Like it's shocking.
I'm like the crazy thing about the Confederate flag is it only pops up when there's a civil rights movement of some sort for African-American, Latino people to like try to get something. That's when that flag always pops out. If there's nothing going on like that, you won't see that Confederate flag anywhere.
And it just questions the motive because then all of a sudden the heritage over hate thing comes out and it's like, okay, where was your heritage like a year ago when this wasn't in the front page of every single news source? Exactly. Is your heritage important then? Or is it only important now because like something that you claim to love is threatened? And I don't know. It's interesting, but dude, let's talk about birds. I don't know what the fuck is going on. Neil, what's up? Sorry.
I was going to say kind of along the same vein. Am I wrong to think that like AB kind of not a racist, but he's got some domestic issues outstanding, right?
Is it Antonio Brown?
Yeah.
The Super Bowl champion, Tampa Bay Buccaneers wide receiver.
Yeah.
Yes.
And like it stinks to me and my loose interpretation of it. I'm like, why is he not getting it? I mean, I know he's kind of taking some beatings, but I just kind of poo-poo on the NFL and the Bucks for – because I think the evidence is kind of damning, at least that he's a terrible person.
I think legally-wise, I don't think that anything happened. I think it's all civil stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't really hold up in court at all, if I understand it right.
Yeah.
His court dates got pushed to this year. So they're going to be later this year. Because I remember the pending – like the court issues were – a hang up for the Bucks signing him. Bruce Arians wasn't a very staunch supporter of Antonio Brown, because he worked with Brown when he was on the Steelers staff, and he said, nah, he's not a fit here. And then later Tom changed his mind. But exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, Bruce Arians caved to probably the notion that he could win a Super Bowl with Antonio Brown on the team, and what coach doesn't want to win a Super Bowl, because coaches have their legacies to deal with. Like, there's so many nuanced angles, like the psychology. Cause like, you know, Bruce Arians doesn't like the guy, but he still gave him a chance. Did Antonio Brown deserve that chance, or did Bruce give him a chance only to benefit Bruce? It's hard to say. And like, Bruce Arians has long been considered one of like the most like for the player coaches in the NFL. Like, he always has his players' backs. That's a guy that very rarely, like, Bruce Arians has one of the most diverse staffs in the NFL. Like, a good majority of his staff is African-American, female. Like, yeah, it's impressive, the staff he assembled, and they're the best coaching staff in the NFL, the best team in the NFL. So, I mean, shout out to the Bucs for winning that game. But I don't know. Like you said, there are still questionable decisions being made. And Antonio Brown's kind of a very good example of a guy who's had tons of issues. There's mental health questions with AB, because he kind of just went off the deep end in a really crazy way, because he was acting irrational, like just crazy. And we didn't know if it was for the drama of it all, or if it was like he's having a mental breakdown, or was he just trying to manipulate a bunch of people into getting what he wanted, which was at the time being released from the Raiders.
Yeah.
So it's wild.
I just know, like, I don't think he's ever like came out and like truly apologized.
Yeah.
For like any of that. And it's like, okay, if Drew Brees hadn't, like, his fellow players would not do anything about it, or they would, like, they would probably stand for it. But I think because there's a lack of females in the NFL, they're not quite held to like the sexist standard that you're held in as far as like racism goes.
That's a fair point. Like, there's a lot of other issues in the NFL besides the issue of racism and the national anthem protests and stuff like that. I will say, I do think Antonio Brown's like respect amongst his peers has taken a significant hit. Like, he's not the darling everyone thought he was. He didn't just return to the spotlight as one of the best wide receivers to ever play the game. He's now kind of like a role player for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The story there's Tom Brady, but to Brown's credit, with all of the issues that he dealt with over the past 8 months with the team, he was very quiet in Tampa Bay. So I think his head's on straight to a degree, and he's able to do what he has to do and work, just keep his head down and keep grinding. So it doesn't excuse his past actions, but he does look like a guy who is maturing, which is good, but he still has some legal issues outstanding that I'm interested to see what happens. So
yeah, I just wish there's more ownership, I guess.
Whatever
on his part.
Yeah. 100%. So what's the birds suck? What are we talking about here?
Yeah, dude.
Pooing on your windshield.
So we were, I don't know, like last week, 2 weeks ago, whenever it snowed, we were outside, we were walking back in, and I got four lights outside, right? Around the garage door and the front door. And three of them have bird nests on them from over the summer. I just hadn't gotten around to knocking them down and Grayson pointing them out. And it got me to thinking, though, that like the one at the garage door, every time I opened the garage door, that thing would dive on me. Do you guys like birds? How you feel about birds?
I like listening to them sing.
Dude, we have, since we've moved into this house, there's a, above our garage door, there's a bird's nest. And I think it's a happy ending massage parlor, because there's a different type of bird in there every week. Like, it's not just like the same robin or the same blue jay or whatever. Like, Tuesday there will be a robin. 3 days later there will be a cardinal. And then 4 days later, there's a different kind of bird. So I think it might be like a Stop and Shop, or I don't know, a massage parlor, a little happy ending. I'm not sure.
See, I'm out on birds, dude. Those things fucking suck. One, dude, they're gross. On Saturday and Sunday mornings when I have maybe a slight opportunity to wake in before my kids come barreling in my room, they're chirping outside my window. They dive bomb me when I go outside. But then if I knock the nest out and put it in the trash can, I'm suddenly the asshole, you know? And I'm out of birds, dude.
They're trespassing on your property. You can do whatever.
Yeah, they don't pay taxes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. They're gross, dude. Just any kind of bird.
What do they do for the ecosystem?
They are good for insects and small rodents, depending on the bird.
Yeah, owls eat mice. I couldn't give a shit. You got the American bald eagle, of course, it's very majestic, but even some of those things are assholes, you know?
Yeah, let me give you guys a perspective. So I went to Alaska a few years ago. They find eagles as kind of a nuisance because they're predatory birds and they're everywhere. Like, if you want to get bored with eagles, go to Alaska or like Montana or northern Michigan, you'll see them all over the place. They're not a fan of the bald eagle up in Alaska. It's kind of just old news to them. So are you guys like, I guess it was new to me. So I was like, oh my gosh, look at all those eagles. Like, it was sweet, dude. One flew like parallel to our car for like 100 yards. It was super cool. But like, I'll be the guy that will be like, wow, look at that. That's so cool. I got to stop. But they're just like, whatever, those things can fuck off.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't know. It's cool when you see one, because especially around here, because you don't see them a lot.
Yeah.
But you do see them every now and then. But I just feel like if they're always around, like in Alaska, and like you said, they're old news. Like, I just feel like it'd be like any other kind of bird. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, dude, they're kind of terrifying. Like, they're freaking large birds, so it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, just think if one of those bad boys, or even an owl around here, just swoops down, gets you with a talion or something. You know, you just
owl. Remember the time? Remember the time we saw an owl at the fire, and you didn't believe me?
No, I believed you. It was an owl. I thought it was a fake owl.
Okay, so yeah, I saw an owl land on a radio tower next door to Al's house. We were at a fire. It was late. I could see the silhouette of the owl, and I was like, bro, that owl just landed there. And Al just looked at me and said, no. Like, he did. That's all he said. I was like, no. And then, like, a few seconds later, the owl flew in. I was like, look at that bitch. Look at that bitch. So,
things it flew away. I was like, that owl's always been there, dude. It's like a fake one.
Dude, I have mixed feelings on birds. I think some birds are awesome. Owls are dope. Vultures are disgusting, but they serve great purpose with cleaning up roadkill, which is also disgusting.
Yeah.
When Casey bought her house a couple years ago now, which is crazy, there was a bird nest just like the ones you had on top of the light outside her back door, and it had babies. And I like took pictures every day of the babies as they were growing up, and they were like looked like little dinosaurs.
That's adorable.
And then one day they were gone, and I was like, I had an emotional attachment to those birds, so it was pretty dope.
Yeah, dude, because birds don't give a shit about you, and they'll attack you.
They get sent a postcard, anything.
They shit all over your stuff. They're the worst.
Yeah. Have you guys heard of the birds aren't real conspiracy theory?
Get out of here.
Have you seen that that video clip, though, of like the kid on like morning news or something? Yeah. And they're asking about him. They're asking him about it, and he's like answering their questions, and they kind of giggle. And he's like, he goes, "This is very serious. I'm very offended."
Yeah.
And they're like, "Oh my god."
There's a lot of people buying into that guy's philosophy on birds, though. It's kind of getting traction.
If that gets traction, I give up on the United States.
All for birds if they completely eliminate the mosquito population. Yeah. And house flies too. Let's go ahead and get rid of all the flies and horse flies and all that.
Horse flies can go. Dude, birds aren't real has some sweet merch. Birds aren't real has sweet merch, but you have to approach it as a joke. Just because I said this, I'm 99% sure I will have ads on my phone tomorrow for Birds Aren't Real. So shout out Birds Aren't Real. If you want to sponsor the pod,
shout out.
We'll take it. We takes it.
So, Al, let's wrap this show up with some classic Al's cues.
Dude, let's fire them off real quick. First one. What?
Nothing.
What'd you say?
Got any gummy questions for tonight?
was, I believe, one of the two that I took out.
Thank God.
Would you rather be the best looking dude in the world or be able to read minds?
Read minds.
Read minds easily.
Absolutely.
My looks are going to fade. They already are. I've got a fucking receding hairline.
I just have an impact. I just, and this has been since I was born, dude. I just have an impact on women that is just uncanny. I just need to read minds.
You mean like they run away or what?
Man, Anna is so lucky to have
you. Yeah, she is. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm thinking neither, man. I don't care. I don't want to know what he wants to
say. God damn it. That's not the question. Do you want to be the best looking guy in the world or do you want to be able to read minds? Those are the two options. You have to pick one.
I will read minds and then opt not to.
Ooh, caveat. I think it could be a shitty thing to read minds. Like, is it something that you could... Yeah, could you opt not to, or would you, like, basically, every time you look at someone, always, you know what they're thinking?
You just always are thinking, God, Dennis is a good-looking guy when we're having a conversation, you know?
It's like,
I hate that.
It's like, because I know, like...
If that's the case, because I don't want to have to, like, constantly be knowing what everybody's thought is at all times.
Yeah, because I couldn't have my own thoughts.
Because there's times where, like, a thought pops in my head, like, out of nowhere, and then I'm like, what? Like, that's not me at all. Like, I don't know where this came from, and so you would just be paranoid of what everyone's thinking.
Yeah.
Would you rather relive your best sports moment or your best sex moment? I'll be honest, I wasn't super gifted athletically, so I don't really have a moment. And I'm not super gifted in the bedroom either, so I don't really have a moment.
Yeah, I would say athletically, because the best is yet to come, they always say, you know?
There we go. Yeah, athletically, for the same reason. Let's go! Like, I'll have to go back in time to do stuff that I definitely couldn't do now. And like Neil said, the best is yet to come in the other category, so...
In the fifth grade in the Little League soccer, I scored 2 goals in 1 game.
Let's go.
I would love to go back and relive that. I missed a third one. So dude, if I could go back and make that third one, it'd be electric.
We're going to talk about elementary school legends. The coolest maybe I've ever been in my life was in elementary school because I was the best kickball player. I kicked the ball really, really, really far.
Oh, you're that asshole.
Everyone loved it.
Everyone, Zach's up, back up, back up. Yeah,
that was me. And I've never felt more important. I knew the other kids didn't really like me because I was cool, but they knew that I could kick in 5 runs. So
all 6 of you in the Kendallville North Elementary School class.
Dude, we had a popping class of like 40. So
no way.
It was a big deal. But I would always go up.
Inner city school.
Nice. Yeah, it's intense. I clear the bases every time. One time I broke a fence playing kickback. It was kickback, so it wasn't kickball. It was just literally kick the ball up in the air and try to catch it.
Oh, yeah.
Really entertaining. I broke someone's fence with a ball I kicked up because it went basically into orbit and then came down and spiked a wooden fence and just snapped that shit right in half. And then another time, God rest her soul, I kicked the ball and it hit our music teacher in the face. And as I mentioned, I have a fucking rocket attached to my hip. So she had a tough time. It was at a student council event. We were on the asphalt. I didn't kill her. No. She died a few years ago of cancer, I believe. So, yeah, it was misleading when I said God rest her soul and said I kicked her in the face. I understand.
Yeah. I was thinking, like, that was very traumatic if you killed somebody at a young age like that.
Yeah. It wasn't me. I almost did, though. I probably gave her a concussion. Yeah, I probably gave her a concussion. So.
Good thing CTE didn't exist back then.
100%. 100%.
I think if I could go back and redo an athletic feat, I would work on my dribbling to layup skills while being blocked because I tripped going for a layup as a friend at the time. Jumped to block it, and I don't know if the satellite cord just like came off the ground a little bit and it tripped me, and I fell into him, and he fell onto me, and then I ended up breaking my back.
What's awesome though, Neil, is that you like explain that story like he was playing some lockdown ass defense, and yet when you fell down, he wasn't touching you. You like tripped over your own feet.
Yeah, and he was also literally half my height, I think.
So, are we going back and reliving or reorchestrating some of our worst moments in sports, or reliving some of our best?
I'm calling back to the beginning, redoing college, and I'm combining the redo with an athletic feat.
That would have totally shifted the trajectory of your whole life.
What you might want to do, Neil, is like go back, try a little bit harder in high school at swimming. You actually win that 200 freestyle your senior year by like a lot more than like maybe less than a second.
It was a 100th.
And then,
yeah, it was a 100th of a second. It was the most stressful race I've ever watched.
And then go to state and just get demolished and get last place at state.
I got you next might to want last. To fix that. Next to last.
Hey, he didn't get last. What are you talking about?
I swam in the same heat as an Olympian. Olympic gold medalist, dude.
Yeah, you're right.
Dude. Or the, if I could change a more recent athletic feat, I would just be better at walking downstairs so I didn't break my foot walking downstairs.
Yeah, I remember that.
Classic. All right, last one. You have to choose one. Drink and never be hungover. Drink and never gain weight. Drink and always close the deal with a chick. Or never drink and your team wins a championship.
Is this alcohol drink, I'm guessing? Or any kind of drink?
No, it's alcohol.
Get me out of hangovers. They're the freaking worst.
Exactly.
I'll go with drink and never lose weight. Honestly, I don't have too bad of hangovers as it is.
As I was saying the word exactly, I think I'm going with the drink and never gain weight.
I
would think so too on that. I'd rather be able to drink as much beer as I wanted and not have to worry about gaining 15 pounds the next morning.
I don't mind having a hangover. I've had some bad hangovers. They go away.
The hangover will be like
the reminder of like, so easy.
Yeah, the hangover will be like, hey, that was stupid, you idiot. Instead of like the 50 pounds you gain over the course of 5 years of just pounding beer.
Yeah, dude. The last time I had a major hangover, I was asleep on the couch and Zach was upstairs. So I texted him and I said, hey, man, we're not doing anything today.
I remember that. I think we were all sore that day. I think they say you can't outwork a bad diet, but I think you can outwork a bad diet enough to like maintain or slowly gain. So I think I would go with that, because I'm like pretty good at like doing minimal workouts, like still working out a little bit, but like not enough to like shred down, but enough to maybe keep me from gaining a few. And I just hate hangovers because I can't do any, like struggle to do anything the next day.
So you would go with no hangovers?
Yeah, and if the spins are gone, like, I'm game for that, too.
Sweet. Spins suck. That's for sure. Doesn't work. Hey, man.
Take them.
Is that the last one?
That's the last one, dude. Spins. Unless you want to do these two that are a little bit extreme.
No, let's take those offline.
Yeah. We'll kill the record real quick.
Oh, shit. Well, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Maplewood Happy Hour. Thanks for joining, guys, as always. We appreciate it. If you are not already, please follow, subscribe, like, whatever you can do to support the podcast. Leave a 5-star review if possible. We would really appreciate that to help us grow. So take care. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next time. What was that, Richard?
Molly, thanks for the comment on the review.
Shout out Molly. So, All right. Peace out.
I'm not doing that. Peace.